into agenda proper then, reports from the three task forces. And if I may, I will just take you briefly through the report from the Hong Kong from the Hong Kong Island Task Force. As you see, at our fourth meeting on the 27th of January, one of the major items we addressed was this initial study, or the study that is ongoing now, looking at how we might come up with a collaboration model for sites 4 and 7 on the central reclamation. Consultants have just embarked on the study. To be fair, so there wasn't a great deal to report by way of outcome as yet. But I think the members do feel that 4 and 7 were very closely intertwined, and that in terms of outcomes, the two sites should be looked at in conjunction with each other, and any solution perhaps should cover both those sites. Obviously, the consultant will be coming back on a regular basis to reach the task force on progress. And this is a very important study, as you can imagine. Part of our brief by our remit, as you know, is to come up with a range of alternative models for private sector involvement on the waterfront. And this is the first of its type, the first of its kind, and therefore the outcome, I think, will be very important. And obviously, the task force will keep commission fully informed. And I think perhaps when we come to the findings of the study, perhaps a briefing should be to the commission as a whole, not just the task force.
I have a comment to that, Mr. Chairman. I've already been commenting until the end of the Hong Kong Island Task Force.
And then also just on this particular study, although that site 8 is not included in the brief, I think members felt that from a contextual point of view, site 8 should at least be considered part of the 4 and 7 in isolation. The context anyway of site 8 and the impact of site 8 will need to be at least considered by the consultants. But that's ongoing work, and as I say, we'll keep the commission fully informed. Next presentation we had was from the AFGD on Western wholesale food market, where there was an opportunity there for community involvement. The waterfront is underutilized, and there are 4 piers that are at the moment completely vacant. And there is an opportunity, obviously, there to bring the water to the people to the water. We had a long discussion with the AFCD and stressed them that I think, in addition to the short-term opportunity, we might want to be looking at the longer term. I hope there's no question of whether the markets need to be located on the waterfront, they could ideally, if they need to locate on the waterfront, whether we could have some form of consolidation. They have taken this away and agreed to come back to us at a future date with some long-term plans in mind for the use of these areas, because obviously if you could free up even part of the wholesale market at Western, and then part of the wholesale market at Kershawan, could be a major opportunity for public involvement and public access. So that's something that Transforce will keep a close eye on. We then looked at the proposals to add additional 4 to the piers at Central, piers 4 to 6. This is a public engagement exercise going to the public to see what their thoughts are on the proposal, get their feedback, their thoughts. We've been fed in some thoughts on stakeholders, particularly the need to consult end users and potential tenants and occupiers of the space. We felt that was essential. We need to look at the demand side as well as the supply side. Again, CDB is going to come back to us after they've completed their engagement exercise, and we will again be part of that. Then finally, we had another discussion about the ventilation building outside the front of Atlantic Sea. Members made, I think, some very good suggestions and comments on, particularly on the on ventilation and the air quality issues, which I think, to be fair, the Bureau is still struggling with to some degree. On design, you recall that we were concerned about visual impact and about the height of the facility. We were advised by the Bureau that they're not yet into detailed design. They haven't yet commissioned detailed design, but they will do so during this year. And that part of that exercise will be to reduce the mass and reduce the height and reduce the visual impact as much as possible. And they will come back to us with their thoughts and proposals on detailed design. As you know, it potentially could have a major visual impact certainly on that area of the waterfront. So we must do what we can to try and minimize that, I think. So that, in summary, is what we covered at the household. Lisa, I think for you, one of the rest.
I think you mentioned in passing the last paragraph in item 2. This might be a matter of terminology, I'm not sure, but it does say that the administration reiterated that the development of Site 8 would be considered alongside the development of Site 7, which I'm all in favour of, certainly. But what was that an agreement? And if so, had it been checked into the brief for the
ongoing
study.
You want to take that? Thank you.
Chairman, I think there's issues extensively discussed at the task force and at the presence of the consultant. The brief covers Site 4 as well as Site 7. It would be too much to ask to add in the brief after the appointment on Site 8 specifically or any specific site for that matter. But the consultant notes the views of the task force, and they have another mind during their consultancy and during the market sounding exercise to be conducted, and during the consultancy, they basically other potentials and other opportunities, they will flag it up to the task force.
Lisa,
are
you happy with that?
Well, I'm not undertaking the study, of course, but I think I'd be just a little bit cautious about flagging something up that required ongoing design or attention. So I would say that once it's flagged up, then something might continue at a more detailed level with regard to Site 8.
The consultancy is about business
line
ability. So I believe members who have been giving us views on TBC understand very well that one of the important parameters to be established is business viability. So to start with, we know that there are commercial spaces at Site 4. And therefore we want to seize the opportunity to have a better design if it is commercially viable to extend the TPC to Site 7. We do not know at this point in time whether the TPC will cover all of Site 7, part of Site 7, or what are the options in front of us. But I think this is the first point to establish the business viability of the TPC proposal. At this point in time, there's no commercial space in Site 8.
Please forgive me if I'm not a member of this task force and if maybe the answer to this question already. But I recall there was some discussion as to whether if one was looking at the possibility of private-public partnership, whether it would be sort of on a sort of unconstrained any commercial usage that the private sector party might wish to have, and thereby, you know, maximizing commercial value as compared to maybe setting down some parameters or some planning requirements that would be, you know, maybe have more of a public or social element along some sort of concept or whatever that one might feel would be beneficial as far as the Harvest Fund is concerned. And perhaps it is, I may cross a little biscuit, but is that something which is being incorporated in this study, or is this PPC or PVP only being done on the basis of best commercial use, as it were?
Well,
my understanding, perhaps I can be corrected on wrong, is that there are some physical constraints that affect the site. There are also certain planning parameters, if you like, which have to be applied. But thereafter, the commercial solution is up to the consultant.
Right.
I mean, correct me if I'm wrong.
So, but to some extent, if, let's say, you know, those that might have some, how can I say, sort of top-down concepts, such as maybe the Harbourfront Commission, wanted something particularly free of thought in relation to these sites, then I guess the consultants have to be guided accordingly, because if you just give them an empty piece of paper, they will say, well, you know, build this tall as possible thing, and, you know.
I don't think there's any restriction on the creative uses, if you like, of the consultant. There are physical constraints and there are some planning constraints. But the fact that they'll be coming back to us on a regular basis to brief us, I think, enables us to provide that sort of steer that you're suggesting. But if we ourselves have some innovative ideas that we believe could be fed in, then we will have the opportunity to do that.
Chairman, if I may, I'll go further than that. In fact, this consultancy is quite unlike the other consultancies that we have done. In other consultancies, even if we have a relevant committee to report to, normally we will steer the consultancy ourselves, we mean the government officials. So we will only give the committee, which comprises mainly non-officials, sort of finalized reports. At certain stages, so it could be an interim report followed by a final report. But in this particular consultancy, I have expressed my wish that I want the consultancy actually to work to the task force so that the task force, with the benefit of the outsiders, particularly those who have a better commercial eye than ourselves, would be able to fit in ideas to the consultancy. But of course, in terms of all those contractual and appointment and so on, we are the employer of this consultancy. So the task force members don't have any particular obligations in terms of accountability. But I want you to help me to steer and to guide this consultancy at every stage of its work. So I don't necessarily think we'll put in place ways that the consultancy could come back to the task force to seek a steer. So that's how the process of this consultancy is going to be managed. The second point about the panel's point is maybe I should make it very clear that I would love this consultancy and this PPP model to have as little of constraints as possible. Unfortunately, we can't. Because first, we have this statutory planning regime, and secondly, because we are dealing with such a sensitive piece of harbourfront site. So the development parameters in terms of, for example, the plot ratio, the usable GFA, the height, have been rather predetermined. But I noticed that in earlier discussions, there are alternative views to the design. Because earlier on, as part and parcel of the UDS, the Urban Design Study, we have actually also sort of formulated the configuration and the design of this building block. But that, I think, we could have a bit of flexibility. So, for example, instead of a very centralized approach of putting all the GMA in two, three buildings, you want a more scattered out approach. I think that would be, if that acts on, make it more viable commercially and has a great sort of customer sense, then we would love to accommodate those. But if you want to say that, oh no, this viability would be not significantly increased by putting in a boutique hotel, or raising the number of stories, then sorry, we don't have that flexibility. Once we go into that, we will be reopening a lot of work that we have done previously for the waterfront site. That's the problem.
I really think we do have a chance to do this.
Yeah.
Any other comments, please?
Mr. Chairman, if I may, I would like to make some comments on paragraph C. With regard to the additional clause, with regard to the public engagement program for the construction of additional floors, last year's 4-6. Whilst it may be correct that the subject goals may be fair to the task force itself, but as a report, a very brief report to the Commission, this report is not clear at all, because there's not explain why that ought to be to the additional thoughts about the fears, right? and perhaps it's arisen from the previous AGC's work and it has been agreed. I don't know. I'm a member of the task force, but for other commission members that is not clear for. And then why is there such a need and whether this commission is expected to make comments on the need at all, or just to comment on the public engagement program. And to the status of paragraph, it is also not clear because why is it that the CEDP will only informally have informal discussion session instead of formally consulting the task force members, and how informal is informal. And why is the view sought on the design and not on the view with another aspect at all? So this report, I found that there's some shortcoming of this report.
Point taken. We try and summarize, on occasion we summarize too much, I apologize. Now, essentially, my understanding in the Dane Compassion Health, this is partly driven by wanting to improve the viability of the family care services, but also obviously to turn the peers themselves into rather more attractive venues, if you like, for the community. So it's driven by the two drivers, if you like. In terms of informal, the idea was that CED was keen to move on and members offered, if you like, to contribute their thoughts and views on an informal basis. That's all that particular sentence refers to. And it is, sorry, again, it's not just design of things, obviously the use of the things, I mean, uses to which this process put will obviously also be an issue which we can discuss and we'll talk about. But I apologise, it's inevitably when you try to summarise, you don't necessarily want to set the right call, the right detail. Tracy, anything you want to add? Okay, thank you. Sorry, when did sorry, just thank you. Apologies.
Yeah. Martin here at the last meeting due to some urgent business to rush away from Hong Kong, but it does concern me that this has made no reference to the Town Planning Board's vision statement for the Victoria Harbour, paragraph 2. And it seeks to enhance the scenic views of the harbour and maintain visual access to the harbour front. This is also supported by a principle 5 of the planning guidelines promoted by the SEC, which says that the harbour environment, especially the visual quality, shall be maintained and preserved. So these are piers right on the harbour front. Adding extra stories will have a very sensitive impact on the view to the harbour, both ways, from the harbour and into the harbour. So I think this is a matter that needs very, very careful consideration. The present report given doesn't seem to make specific reference to these two guiding principles, namely the vision statement of the company board and our own guiding principles. I mean, having regard to these two important documents, I'll be very surprised if the idea could be supported. Thank you.
Well, the principles are something that we can discuss at the meeting because obviously they are very important. This particular paper that we received from the particular notice that you see here refers exclusively to a public engagement exercise. CD wishes to go out quite rightly to the public before it gets too far down the line, if you like, in terms of what it proposes to do with these peers. One of the things that we said, one of the things they undertook was to come back on the detailed design and the layout of these additional tools. And the point you're making is very valid. At that stage, we can obviously critique in the light of the principles. So I think we will have a chance to do that. It's just this particular paper was about public engagement, not about design. Please.
All right. Yeah, I'm supplementing that. I think that would be exactly correct.
Actually, we have not yet got any design for these piers at this moment in time. We are actually at the very first start of trying to engage the public on the design. You mentioned about the harbor planning principle. Actually, it's one of those principles that we laid down as part of our public engagement exercise. So the harbor planning principles and procedures guidelines will be on during this engagement exercise.
Sorry, Chairman, my concern is not the design, but the concept itself of adding in additional stories. If the concept is wrong, nothing can be done and be cured by the design. So I'm going to the very heart of the idea. I've always been against this idea, even though when the first OECD before the housing report 15 years ago, it's also supported, by the way, by the Hong Kong Planning Standard Guidelines, which says that harbourfront structure should be kept at a minimum height. Why are we going against the three basic principles that we should all be supporting? You should favor the town planning board, our principles of harbourfront development, as well as the Hong Kong Planning Standard Guidelines. And it goes directly against everything we stand for. How are we going to be able to answer the public?
I'm sorry to interfere again. I need to make it very clear, particularly for the benefit of all members, that the committee inherits things that have been discussed in the community by the previous HEC and, of course, by the government. So we cannot sort of start afresh on every topic that is brought before the Harbourfront Commission. As far as additional floors about Central Piers numbers 4 and 4 to 6, I recall this has been very extensively discussed in the public domain when we did the urban design study. At that time, Winston, you will remember that the biggest controversy lied in Site 1 and 2. Which many people felt that by drawing reference from the several principles that you have just reminded us, that Site 1 and 2 with the original hotel and office development probably would not fit in well with those principles. But I don't recall any opposition to the additional floors on top of 4 to 6, apart from the reason of increasing the viability of ferry services, which benefited a lot of residents in outlying islands. Many people agree that this is also contributing to another vision of the harbourfront, which is vitality and vibrancy. So you bring people to the harbourfront by having a bit more activities there. So what we are now doing, and CEDD is now doing, is actually to implement that particular vision, which has gone through the public debate necessary, and with the benefit of those principles in front of us. So it is not that we divided this and then the principles of harbourfront came on board. The then HEC has the benefit of all these principles and still feel that this is a good proposal that they could support. And accordingly, we in the Development Bureau also have extended our support to the Transport and Housing Bureau, which looks after the outlying ferry services for this additional pier. And I remember that we perhaps originally felt that this actually integrated very well with the landscape deck, this open plaza on Site 1 and 2, but because of the timing mismatch, that we will have to allow this additional floor on top of Site 4 to 6 to start first, when the landscape deck on Site 1 and 2 will come a bit later because of the central runway bypass. So I don't want you to be confused that we have made a decision by violating all those principles and then force this commission to accept the design and so on and so on. It's not that we are actually at the stage of implementing something that has been agreed and discussed previously. But of course, in so doing, as the CK Hong has said, we will come back on the detailed design and thing. And as far as the uses, I think these are going to be controlled by the town planning board in terms of the zoning of the use. Actually, with what type of restaurant it will have and what type of shops it will have, at the end of the day, will be again another business operation issue. We will be guided by DHB on how they're going to bring in the operator for these additional floors in order to increase the viability of the ferry services. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you. I believe also it's the intention that the roof of each ferry pier will be a viewing deck and access to the public to look across the harbour. So, again, increasing the community involvement.
Yes, it was, as Chris said, expanded the last meeting, I think, with the ultimate intention to generate more revenue for ferry operators who are open to losing money. So, I don't think we should lose track of that. But if there is no opposition to additional floors, why are we going out for further public consultation? Is this just to show the public alternative designs? I think we also need to look at management to some extent to ensure that the additional floors work well and are not as dreary and generally unkempt as existing piers. I mean, we really don't have a good model at all to be able to.
Some final points. Thank you, Chairman. I think a very quick response to this man's excellent point. In the second meeting of our commission, I was so grateful to her to clarify one fundamental issue. Namely, at that meeting, I pointed out that the present OZP, both cognitive area and the ongoing central reclamation, both OZPs predated the CBA judgment, which was January 2004. These plans were way before then. These plans also predated the harbour planning principles that we have now adopted. Therefore, this is a very time to say that the town planning OZP is an ongoing document that could be subject to review from time to time. Maybe it's not the right time to review what we have inherited instead of setting blindly what was put before the community, way before the very important call upon a new judgment. We set a whole different line to the approach to the planning of the harbour and the harbour funds. So I was very encouraged when you said that the OZPs are ongoing documents and could be reviewed. Maybe it's the time for us to do it instead of finally accepting something that is now historically wrong. It's considered on the wrong legal basis. Thank you.
I don't think we have a legal point here. I still abide by what I said, that the OZP is a living document, an ongoing process. At some stage, we will have to revisit the outline going plan, particularly on sites 1 and 2, because I heard some comments at the side of trash made by the government, made by the chief executive himself, on the desirable use of Site 1 and 2. Somebody was saying that unless you put it on the OZP, we don't trust you as a person. We want this to be enshrined in our zoning plan in terms of the now new uses of Site 1 and 2. So there's no contradiction between what I have said previously, that at some stage in future, we will need to revisit the outline zoning plan, as the town planning board has been doing every Friday at this meeting. But I cannot agree with you that this is a wrong decision that the Harbour Front Commission was pressured into accepting a wrong decision made in the past. I'm afraid that you are in a minority to suggest that putting some additional space on top of these at the moment, which is very, very boring here, it's a wrong decision. The same way that we have now got funding to relocate the Maritime Museum to Pier 8 could not be described as a wrong decision, because the public welcomed it, the Legislative Council now supported it and gave us the funding, because all this point to one objective. Although I appreciate in this case, as Peter pointed out, there is a secondary objective of generating more revenue, non-box sale revenue for the ferry. But there's one common objective, and it is to make the harbour front more lively, to attract more people to the harbour front, instead of just having unobstructed visual access onto the sea. You need people and activities there. Isn't that one of the missions of this commission?
Sorry, I apologize if I were making the wrong point. I did not use the word wrong. I'm saying that we should not be tied to decisions made pre the due decision, and that maybe to take a positive step forward, we should review things without feeling completely bound by them. In other words, the two OZPs we had before. kindness and really polite. We are all anxious to proceed ahead, with which you have my complete support. But it should not, the issue of proceeding proceed ahead, be ending up in a position where we support previous decisions which were made under different circumstances. Thank you.
Can we leave it? Can we leave it now? I think we've added enough. I think Mrs. Lamb has agreed that the outline zoning plan is a work in progress, and we can visit it from time to time, and we will. All right. Thank you.